We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another.
Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Hey, we're in part 5 of our message series, It's Complicated, where we've been talking about relationships. And last week we talked about sex is complicated. We got very real and we talked about God's design for sex. And just to summarize it in a few seconds, I don't know if you knew this or not, but God gave sex as a gift, but in Him giving it to us as a gift, it is to be used properly within the confines and the context of marriage. Just as any other gift that God gives, He always gives parameters as to how it should be used. And if you're thinking like, well, man, that's not cool. Well, number one, God created the gift, so He has the copyright on it. So we can't tell God, no, this is how we're going to use it, right? It's His. He designed it. He gave it to us as a gift. But then also, when we use the gifts that God gives us outside of the original purpose in which God called it to be used and function in, that is when it causes pain. And so just as if I use my gift to preach for any other purpose than building people up, but instead I use it to tear people down, it does not cause edification, it causes pain. And so we talked about that last week, and I'm not going to go back into that message because you can go online to our website, or you can download our newly designed app in the App Store and listen to it there. But today, I want to kind of continue on in this series, It's Complicated, by talking about a subject that many of us may have some relationship with. Some of us don't have any ties to it at all. Some of us who are younger in the room, you're not here yet, but you'll maybe be there at some point, I'm pretty sure. But today I want to talk about parenting is complicated. Parenting is complicated. Whether you have children or not, this message is for you. And the reason why is because all of us in here, we play some type of a role as it relates to a parent in the life of a child, whether they are younger and older or older. When I was a youth pastor before we planted this church, I was a youth pastor for 6 years, and I found myself not only being a pastor to many of our students, but in many regards, the kids who came from broken homes or didn't know their families at all and didn't know their father or mother, I found myself oftentimes kind of functioning in a role as a parent, whether it was picking up kids from school, whether it was, you know, buying them clothes from here to there. Not something that I had to do, but something that I felt like God was calling me to do to help fill a role that was being devoid in that child's life. All of us in here will play some type of a parental role, whether it's your own children, whether it's nieces, nephews, grandchildren, whether it's kind of adopted children, whether you've actually adopted them or you kind of consider a child or children adopted. All of us in here will have some type of a role where we will mentor or rear or shepherd children in some capacity, which is also what makes parenting complicated. Because parenting involves shaping and molding the life of another human being that has been made in the likeness and image of God. So we're going to actually read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 today, and I'm just going to spend time kind of breaking down this one verse. And in case you're looking at it like, man, this is one verse, so we'll be out of here in 10 minutes. Not necessarily. I don't want to ruin your expectations. We won't be here that long, but we'll spend a little time helping us understand what Paul is saying. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Fathers," or he could also mean parents, "do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Just one verse. That's kind of what we're going to spend the most of our time talking about and unpacking today. Parenting at every stage has its challenges. Anybody who's a parent in here, can you say amen? Amen. Anybody who's kind of functioned as a parent in some child's life, can you say amen? Like it's challenging because of the different stages that you may find yourself in. Parenting toddlers and infants are challenging. We have one infant, we have one toddler, we have one preschooler. Jesus, come back now, right? Help us. We need grace. Parenting is challenging when it comes to elementary students. It's challenging, especially the teenage years. It's challenging even in young adult years. And even if you have grown children, that still has its complexities. Parenting is challenging, and it looks different in every season. So how you parent an infant is much different than how you parent your grown child, I would hope. Hope you're not trying to change a diaper of a 25-year-old child, right? Like, every season poses different circumstances, challenges with behavior, challenges when it comes to trying to juggle schedules. You got to take this one here to soccer practice. You got to take this one here to ballet. You got to take this to this one here to after-school program. Some children have special needs which require more attention and maybe sometimes more resources and more assistance. Every parent has challenges when it comes to parenting children. And I've talked to plenty of times people who, you know, who are parents, and we're parents of three, and our oldest is four, our youngest is 5 months. And I've talked to many who, you know, oftentimes kind of say, like, man, I know parenting is challenging for you, but man, you don't know what it's like for me. And granted, I may not understand your context, but what I found out is the struggle is the same. Like, both require a level of attention, both require a level of commitment. There's challenges when it comes to raising a child as a single parent. Man, hats off to all you single parents and single moms and single dads. Hand clap for y'all. Seriously, that's work. I was sick Friday all the way up until like yesterday afternoon, and Ariel had to take care of the three amigos, as I like to call them from time to time. My mom calls them the three stooges from time to time, but the three amigos. And yesterday I felt much better, and we were getting ready for the day and all that type of stuff. And I told her, I was like, darling, great job handling the kids yesterday. I know I wasn't that much of a helping man, and I was laid up in the room all day because I could barely move and nauseous and all this good stuff. And she was like, man, God is good, but it was hard. It was hard, man. It's hard to go from 2 to 1, right? Like, let's just be honest about it. It's challenging. And no matter what season you find yourself in as a parent, it's challenging. Now, before, like, for those of us who are young in here, kind of think, like, okay, well, I'm not a parent, you know, like, maybe I'm a younger child or whatever the case may be. It's a challenge being a young person. I've never really understood it when like, we as adults will say to kids, man, you think it's hard? Wait till you start paying bills. Now, that's true. That's true. But these jokers are facing challenges in their life that some of us never even encountered. Like, seriously, just because they don't come and say nothing about it don't mean they're not experiencing it. So it's challenges all the way around. So how do you navigate these things? And here's one thing that I know about parenting. That, man, even though our experience is limited with Ariel, my wife and I, man, you need the grace of God. The parent well. I'm not just talking about parent, but parent well. Just like you need the grace of God in every other area of your life. I figured I'd give you guys a practical example. I had a recent event with my daughter where she and I were having this discussion about whether or not she was going to go sit down. And I actually shared the video on Facebook. Some of you guys who follow me on Facebook or on Instagram, you may have saw it, but I thought it would kind of be cool because it kind of fits into this whole theme of parenting, where I would show this video to you today. Now, as you see this video, I want you to understand something. This was not staged. At all. Like, she and I were in the kitchen, we were having this conversation, and it's intense, and I was like, Ariel, I think you need to grab the camera, because this is for real. Like, this right here just came out of nowhere. We want to be able to have footage to be able to show Aubrey, this is how you were at 2 years old. And I'm blackmail you a little behind. Just in case you ever want to get brand new with mommy and daddy, remember this moment. So I think we got a video that we're going to show you guys really quick. I think if it's up and working,
go
guys,
ahead and
here
seat
we go.
Down. You need to go have a seat. Listen, stop talking back and go have a seat. Go have a seat. Don't you point at me, go have a seat.
Why are you pointing at me?
Go have a seat.
No.
Go have a seat.
No.
Aubrey, go sit down.
No.
What did I say?
Aubrey, go sit down.
You need to go have a seat.
No!
Little girl, sit down.
No!
Go sit.
No!
Do you need to get popped? Then go sit down.
So as you can see, parenting is complicated. Now it's just 1 minute of the video. It was like 3 minutes long. This went on for a while before it got to this particular moment. Now it's interesting because, like, I think it's funny in that video because she has this bib on that says, "I love daddy," while she's talking back to daddy, right? And it started off like I was serious at first before we even started shooting the video. I was like, "Arby, go sit down." And then it just kept going on. I was like, this is kind of funny, right? And then I just broke where I started laughing, and I think that's kind of what fueled her on, like, "Oh, I'm a point," and "No," right? My favorite moment is when she turns around and tells Aaron, "No!" It's like, little demon child, right? I pray over you. Parenting is challenging, man. Challenging. Anybody in here who's been parents long enough, longer than a day, you know that it's challenging. Like, they're nice and cute when they're here, right? But then they get older. Some challenges, right? Go through the different teenage years. There's challenges. And the question that we got to ask ourselves is this. Like, when it comes to parenting, am I looking at it from the lens of God or am I looking at it from the lens of society? Because if I look at it through the lens of the world, then what's going to happen is something that already is complicated will now begin to fail. Like, God knew what he was doing when he gave you the kids that he gave you. Like, you played a role in that, obviously. But God knew what he was doing. Here's what 2 Peter 1 and 3 says. We don't have the scripture. It says, "For God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness because of your divine, your knowledge through him." So in other words, God has given you everything that you need by his grace to be able to succeed as a parent. The question is, will you and I rely on God's grace or on our own strength, the parent, on a mentor, the children that God has put in our care? And let me help us understand this and answer that question. If you parent children or mentor children, whatever the case may be, according to your own strength and your own ability, you will fail. It will be frustrating. I've realized this in 4 years, that there have been times where I have let God lead me and functioned according to his plan and his word, and it went much better than it could have had I done the complete opposite. But then there's been times where I was not obedient to God in a moment, and it just made the situation worse. And I'm pretty sure all of us in here who are parents or have any nieces and nephews or any, you know, godchildren or adopted children, whatever the case may be, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You hit those moments sometimes where you're like, "Oh my gosh, I just want to strangle you. My goodness," right? You have these moments where you're saying, why would you do something so dumb, right? But then God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit, and he's like, "Do you know how many times you've done the same?" Right? That's kind of always the dichotomy that I always feel. Even right before I discipline my child, God is always kind of like, "Hey, discipline them, because that's correct." We'll talk about that in a second. But I also want you to realize that what you're disciplining them for has been the very thing that I've been trying to get you to understand for the longest. So parenting is really a reflection, and should be a reflection, of our relationship with God. It's supposed to be an outflow of our relationship with God. And the only expert on parenting is God. I don't care what you read in Parent Magazine. I don't care what you see on Oprah, what you see on The Talk or The View or whatever the case may be, or The Chew or all these other shows that start with the word "the." Nobody's a parent. Nobody's an expert when it comes to parenting. The only one who is an expert on parenting is God himself. So we look at what he says in his word, because his word is truth. And his word tells us and shows us how we should function as parents. So see, so even as a pastor, like, I need God's counsel when it comes to parenting just as much as you do. And I love what Paul writes here to believers in Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey, because in chapter 5 until chapter 6, he talks about the whole family unit and how the family is to function. Towards the end of chapter 5, he talks about the relationship between husbands and wives and the sanctity and the sacredness of that relationship. Then he goes around verse 3 and he talks about children obeying your parents, right? Which every parent loves to you know, say and recite in front of their kid. "Obey me. The word says that." But then we skip over verse 4, where it says, "Parents," or "fathers, don't provoke your children to anger," which is kind of where we're going to be today. So he talks about husbands and wives and children, but he also talks about parents, and he gives us these truths as to how God has designed us to be able to parent. And I'm just going to boil them down into very, very clear phrases and points that, though parenting is complicated, number one, God shows us and tells us the wrong way to parent. I wanted to get as simple as possible. I wanted it to be deep but simple. The first half of verse 4 in Ephesians 6, Paul says, fathers or parents, do not provoke your children to anger. Here's what Paul is saying. This is the wrong way to parent. That's what he's saying in plain language. This is the wrong way to parent. What does provoke mean in the original language in the Greek of the New Testament? Provoke simply means to irritate or cause resentment. Parents, have we done that to our children? Right? For those of us who are parents and are older now, could you remember a time where your parent may have done that to you? Yes. Irritated you, caused you resentment. And here's the reason why Paul is really writing this as well, because in the first century Greco-Roman society, fathers especially had complete rulership over the entire household. And so they were under the function that they could treat their family and treat their children in any way they wanted. Be wicked towards them, boss them around, beat them down if they didn't get something right. In other words, they were not functioning in the way that God had designed. And so when Paul writes to believers in Ephesus, he says, I know that's the way of culture, but for the church, it's supposed to be different. For those who claim to be believers in Christ and followers of Christ, we are not to be ones who provoke our children to anger. What does this mean? Being harsh with your children. Just being tough on them. Discouraging them. Because when you're tough, too tough, and when you're too harsh, and when you're discouraging them, it leads to resentment. Right? They begin to hate you. Right? Like sometimes you've seen movies where you know, a child would just blow up at their parent and be like, I hate you! There was a lot of stuff that led up to that moment. Maybe some discouragement, maybe being harsh, holding them to a standard that's unrealistic. I want you to make straight A's every 9 weeks. What? You want me to be perfect? Yes. Did you make straight A's? No. That's a whole nother conversation. And then when they don't make straight A's, they get a B+. You're about ready to flog them. Paul is like, no. We can't be setting these unrealistic expectations. It doesn't mean that we set the bar low. What it means is that we set a standard in such of a way where it does not become a burden, but it's a blessing. So Paul is talking about here, finding every little thing to nitpick. Oh, I see you didn't iron all that shirt. But Ma, it's pretty much done. Dad, it's pretty much done. It's one wrinkle right there on the collar, son. Really? Right? Like, or sarcastic with your kids all the time. Like, can't even give a compliment. They do something well. You know you could do this better. What? I just moved heaven and earth to do this. Right? Like these type of things lead to resentment. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. He says this is the wrong way to parent. That we're creating an environment in our household that's not life-giving, it's life-draining. For those of us who are parents right now, maybe you have children living in your house, maybe they're younger, maybe they're older, whatever the case might be. Question is, are you creating an atmosphere that's life-giving? Are you creating the type of atmosphere that when they get old, they want to come back to? Because it says a lot about me as a parent. If my child finally gets up, I'm gone. Deuces, I ain't never coming back. And they actually never come back. It says a lot of me about me as a parent, right? And by all means, I'm not trying to, you know, bring any guilt towards us, but I'm trying to help us understand some truth and understand at the same time that God gives some grace in the midst of this. But God is calling us to be able to put parenting in its proper perspective. And maybe you grew up in an environment that was hostile. It was negative. Because I've realized through my experiences and through talking to other people who struggle in this area that we repeat and reciprocate what was passed down to us. And so if you never had a father or a mother there to affirm you, to encourage you, to direct you, then more than likely it's a very strong chance that that is what will be reciprocated in the life of your children. And so for many of us in here, man, it's like, man, I didn't even know any better. I was reading a story a while back about this guy who's in the NFL, and he was brought up on charges because of him going too far when it came to disciplining his children. That he was not only disciplining his children with switches and things like that, but he was actually leaving welts and gashes on his child. That's going too far. And when they interviewed him, they would ask him, like, did you ever see anything wrong with this? And you know what his answer was? That's how I was brought up. I didn't know no better. And for many of us, that's your story. You ain't know what was wrong. You won't even know what's wrong until right now. But God is trying to help us understand some things. That this gift of parenting that we have, and you notice that every week we've been talking about how relationships are a gift and different dynamics of relationships are a gift. Parenting is a gift as well. And I believe that God wants to begin to correct some things, maybe from our past, that we have allowed to trickle down into our parenting and into our relationships that aren't for our good or for the good of our children, but really cause detriment and discouragement. Because here's what I'll say, that what you don't put aside gets passed down. So if you don't put the anger aside that you had and that you developed when you were a child in your household with your parents or with your aunties or uncles or grandparents, that gets passed down to your children. That gets passed down to any other children that you may be raising or that you may have a paternal type of relationship with. So the question that we got to ask ourselves is, are there things right now in my life that are not God honoring? Because if there are things that are not God honoring and I do not put it aside, it will eventually get passed down. And so the anger that I got from this person has now become on me, and because I have not checked it at the door, now it gets passed down to my child and to their child and to their child. But I believe that God today, he wants to set us free and he wants to break some patterns. That I believe that God today says, that's the wrong way to parent. I'm going to give you a better way to parent, which Paul talks about in the next part of the verse. He says this, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up. Bring them up. That word there translates to nourish or to rear. Here's what Paul is saying. We've talked about the wrong way to parent. Here's the right way to parent. So he says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Of the Lord. Notice the emphasis there that Paul advocates for a better way, the right way, the true way to rear our children, and that is to do so according to the Lord. That the only right way to raise our children is in line with the Bible. It's in line with what God says, not with what pop culture says, not with what memes you see on social media, not with what you hear everybody else saying, some of the things that people may say. It may sound good, but is it godly? Is it godly, right? Like, we got to be honest about it. We got to ask ourselves this question. Paul says, I want you to bring your children up in the admonition and instruction of the Lord. When Paul says of the Lord, here's what he's really implying. That bringing up our children according to the Lord, it starts with devotion for us. What do I mean by devotion? Devotion to the Lord. That you can't bring your children up in the instruction of the Lord if you yourself are not devoted to the Lord. So he says, devote yourself to the Lord, in the Lord, of the Lord. In other words, a life that is submitted to God will overflow into one's parenting skills. So Jesus says it like this in Matthew 20, 22. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Somebody was asking Jesus this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus says, number one, most importantly, devotion to loving God. That's where it starts. And loving God means that I've received the love that he's expressed to me through his son, Jesus Christ. Scripture says that God is love, and it wasn't us who loved him first. No, he loved us first. So in other words, until I have received the love of God expressed in faith in Christ Jesus, I will never be able to love people properly. So some of us are trying to figure out, man, why did my parents never love me? It's simple. They never had the love of Christ in them. That's why. And maybe that kind of unlocks where some of us are now as a parent. That, man, why am I struggling as a parent? The question is, where's my love for God in all of this? But I love what Jesus says, because he says it doesn't stop there, because it's easy for us to say, I love God, but that is proven in our love for other people. And a lot of times when we talk about this verse, we talk about co-workers, we talk about neighbors, we talk about difficult family members. But I also believe that it's important that we understand that this verse has a lot to do with the parental relationship as well. Loving others implies loving your children as well. Maybe you were brought up with the Denzel Washington Fences type movie reality. Boy, I ain't gotta love you. I ain't gotta like you. I don't gotta be your friend. Hold on, man. That sounds all hard and macho. But that don't lead to any good fruit down the road. Jesus says, love God, love others, including your children. Are they going to get on your nerves? Sure. Do you get on people's nerves? Sure. Do people still love you? Yes. So just because they may do things that I'm not in agreement with does not change my love for them. This is why you have to have the love of God, because God's love for us has not changed even when we rebel against him, even when we go against him. And he proved that to us by sending his son Jesus down the cross for us and by raising him from the grave on the third day. So God is like, if you've received my unconditional love, it should be reciprocated in how you treat others, especially your children. He says, love others. Treat your children as gifts from the Lord. Why? Because they are. Here's what Psalm 127 says. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward for him. Children are not burdens to bear, but blessings to enjoy. One day earlier this week, I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, the kids were acting real crazy in the morning. I was in the other room getting ready to go. Ariel was getting them together, and they just kept just chomping off at the mouth, just asking questions. Mommy, can I have this? Mommy, can I have that? No, 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 no. And I heard Ariel, she don't even know this, but I heard her in the laundry room saying, I love my children, I love my children, I love my children, I love my children. I was like, yo, that's real. Got to remind yourself. Got to fight this flesh, man. Called to love our children. They're blessings to enjoy. Yes, parenting may feel like a burden, but it is not a burden. Yes, the children may get on your nerves, but you got to understand they're a gift. I've always found it to be interesting. I feel like God kind of sometimes convicts me, because he's like, man, you know, you prayed and asked that I would bless you with children. And sometimes you complain about them. And whatever you fail to celebrate, you begin to curse. So if you forget that they're a blessing, begin to curse the blessing that God gave you. Does this make sense? So God is calling us to love your children. What does love look like practically? Speak into the lives of your kids, man. Invest in them. Words carry meaning, they carry power, they carry future, they carry destiny. If you keep on spitting poisonous rhetoric into the lives of your children, it will not lead to anything fruitful. Like, I never want Josiah, Aubrey, and Joshua to ever have to say, I don't know if Daddy loved us or not, because he always had negative things to say about us. Your words carry meaning, y'all, right? Scripture says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Such is the same now with your children, right? Do you tell your kids that you love them, right? Text messages ain't enough. You got to tell them. You got to tell them. Because if you don't tell them, somebody else will. And that other person may not be the person that God wants them to be with, so now they believe a lie. The first place that they should receive affirmation should be the home. And I understand that we're in a fallen world, we're in a sinful world, so families are broken, and so sometimes that may be difficult, but I firmly believe that God sent godly people into each and every person's life to speak well into the lives of children. And so for us as parents, man, that's what we're called to do. Go out of your way to let them know that you love them and care for them. Loving your children when things go well and when they don't go well. When they get first place, when they get last place, in good health or not, when they're listening or when they're disobeying. Devoted to loving your children at all times means that I go the extra mile. It means sometimes that I got to be put in uncomfortable positions for the well-being of my children. It means that I got to make sacrifices. It means that sometimes this parenting thing may take me, God may allow this parenting thing to take me to places in my life that I never even envisioned. There may be some difficult seasons that I have to endure as a parent. As a matter of fact, some close friends of ours right now are in the middle of a difficult season. One of their youngest children for the past month has been in a medically induced coma, and it started because he bumped his head and began to have seizures. And for the past 4+ weeks, he has been in a coma. And we actually got some pictures that I want to kind of show you guys, because we're going to pray for them. They're really good friends of ours. You'll actually see Timotheus, the husband. He'll be here at some point preaching. But Judah is the young man's name. He's the one kissing his mom, Kendra. And we haven't seen Judah in some years. They live in Pennsylvania. But he was one of the most, like, bubbliest kids that you would ever meet. Like, he never stopped smiling. He always smiled, as you can see here, light up a room. This little dude is in a coma right now. And we're talking to Timotheus and Kendra like every day, getting updates from them. And guys, to be honest with you, they are handling it so well. But do you know how they're handling it? Not by relying on their own strength, but by depending on the Lord. It's God's grace that's getting them through this. Mind you, they got 5 other kids. So they're going back and forth between home and hospital. Timotheus is staying at the hospital overnight every night. Kendra's at home with the other 5 kids, getting them ready for bed, getting them up. Then they swap. Kendra comes to the hospital during the day. He's there. In the meantime, he's running the camp, full-time job. Y'all, parenting is complicated. It's not just changing diapers and you know, sending them off to college. We know that. That sometimes being on this parenting path will lead you to some difficult seasons, unforeseen seasons. But God's grace is always sufficient in every season. God gives you the grace to be able to love, to be able to be devoted to your children in season and out of season. It's all about devotion. But it doesn't just stop there. It's also about discipline. And I know this is where it gets a little interesting. Because depending on your background, that may influence what you think of discipline. But notice what Paul says back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. He says, bring them up in the discipline. Discipline. What does he mean there? Correction. You got to correct your kids. Now, many of us in here are experts at that. Right? You grew up in a home, your mom and daddy was an expert. Grandparents were an expert. Go to the tree, boy. Go get a switch. Right? Depending on your background. Right? Discipline, which means to correct. Here's what the Bible says about discipline. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Discipline is an act of love. An act of love. Here's what Hebrews 12 says. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have had human fathers who disciplined us and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, for our good. Do y'all see it? Discipline is for our good. Then he says this, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Can I get a good amen there for anybody who remembers these stories of being disciplined? Right? You heard your parents say, it's going to hurt you more than it hurt me. Some of y'all are like, that ain't true. What you feeling, dog? Did you feel that belt? You ain't feel that, right? But I think there's something to that. But then he says later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Godly parenting requires us to discipline or correct our children. And for some of us, this may be easy to do because you came up in a home where all that was done was discipline. But even with that, let me caution you, because if your natural bent is to discipline, sometimes you can go too far and not even realize it. Or some of us may have grown up in a context where there was no discipline or correction. Be careful with that, because as you parent your children, you may reciprocate the same, and then they grow up to have no type of boundary. You got to correct them. Discipline is an act of love. To discipline my child for running in the street when cars are coming is an act of love. Boy, don't you run into the street no more. Because I'm not trying to bury you. I'm going to discipline you for that. I'm not, Joe, you know you shouldn't run in the street with those cars, Joe. I know you like cars, buddy, but don't do that because you could get hurt. No. This is life or death, buddy. I need you to understand the reality of this. This is serious. Discipline for it. Am I going to discipline him if he colored something with the wrong crayon? Joe, I told you to use the blue crayon, not the red crayon, boy. Come over here, let me pop your behind. It's a little too far. Y'all see this? You got to correct. When our children step outside of the will of God, of the word of God, you got to correct them. And I know that may not feel good, but if you love your children, you will discipline them. I've told people plenty of times, especially in youth ministry, people would always ask me as a youth pastor, man, how did you get to where you were? And how did you get to where you are? And man, like, like, you just seem like you were perfect. No. Not at all. I can count in the Psalms how many times I got popped. Like, seriously, I could write a book on it right now. I could share stories with you guys. You were like, man, that was the dumbest thing to do. I'll share one story with you guys that you guys will probably think is hilarious, right? You guys know some of our family comes to our church. My mom is here. And one of the things that happened when I was younger, I was playing soccer. And it was one time where I came home with bad grades. Tried to lie about it, right? And so she's talking to me about it in the car. She's telling me as we're going home, you know you're going to get spanking, right? I'm like, yes, I know. And in my mind, I'm already trying to figure out how I can get around this. Now, remember I told you I play soccer? One of the things that they give you in soccer is shin guards. So soon as, like, we pull into the driveway, the garage is going up. I get out of the car, run into the garage. While she's still in the car, waiting for the garage door to open up, I go into my room, go get the shin guards, and put them in my pants to try to keep me from being popped, to lessen the blow. And when she does it, she's like, boy, what is wrong with you? I got stories for days, man. What does that represent? Discipline, man. I tell people, I used to tell the kids at our church all the time, man, I thank God for my family disciplining me. I thank God for it, man. Because if it wasn't for the discipline, how would I know which way to go? How would I know which way not to go? So for those of us who are parents in here, man, don't come down on yourself for correcting your child. Just because they don't like you in a moment, they'll love you later on for it. But at the same time, you got to begin to do it all in love and to make sure that it's out of love, not anger. Because if you do it out of anger, it leads to resentment. It's got to be out of love, not out of anger. One young lady said this to a pastor. I never knew how far I could go because my parents never cared enough to discipline me. I figured that if it wasn't important to them, why should it be important to me? You see this? You reap what you sow. I've seen plenty of times kids grow up and be off the chain. And you can ask Ariel, I will always say, show me that child, and I will probably show you somebody who was not disciplined and corrected for those things. One of the greatest things that we can do is say no to our children, not say yes all the time. My son asked me for stuff all the time. No, man, you can't have this. One time he was asking for a toy, and we just bought a toy out the store, and we're walking out. Can I go in there and get that too? Dude, what is wrong? No. Some of us are like, oh, but you should have went and got it for him. No, I'm not creating no monster. Who gonna think that he entitled to everything when he gets older? No. And have his hand out when he's 30, 35, 40 years old? No, man. Sometimes you gotta say no. And thank God that God says no to us as a good father. Because if God gave you everything that you asked for, you would be a mess right now. God, I really want this relationship. No, you don't. Because it's going to jack you up. God, I really want this job. No, you don't. It pays more, but you have no life. A loving father and a loving parent knows when to say yes, knows when to say no. That's part of discipline. Then the last thing is discipleship. Bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord is about devotion. It's about discipline, but it's also about discipleship. Notice what Paul says. He says, bring them up in the training or the discipline and instruction. When Paul says instruction, he has in mind us teaching our children, discipling our children. That's what disciple means. It means that we teach them to obey God. We teach them the word of God. Here's what Proverbs 22:6 says. Start children off on the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. Now, to put this in context, that verse is not necessarily a promise that if you raise your kids perfectly, that they will come out perfect. That is not true. It's a pattern. The pattern is, if you lay a foundation for your child in the way that they should go, it will guide them through life. It's up to them as to whether or not they want to be obedient to it. God calls us as parents to lay down a pattern. That's teaching them. Teaching them the difference between right and wrong. No child, no son, no daughter, this does not honor God. This is not godly. This is the way to go. Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. I think a lot of times when we look at discipleship, we just look at it in terms of, I got to go disciple and I got to go win my family. I got to go win my neighbors, this, that, and the third, community, co-workers, which is true. But we overlook the very ones that God has called us to disciple first, which is the little ones in our household. I used to always tell people this at our previous church when I was a youth pastor. I never want to stand before God and he asks me and says, Edwin, I see you in Ariel, but where are the other three? Because I didn't parent them the right way. I didn't disciple them. If they don't see Jesus, it ain't going to be because of me. It's going to be because y'all just wanted to rebel. But if I'm laying a foundation for Jesus in my home, the less likely that is to happen. And it's not just about what you say, but it's also about what you do. Discipleship is not just instruction, it's demonstration. Right? So we can't just be the parents that say, do as I say, not as I do. No. We got to make sure that our words line up with our conduct. Right? Because I found that it's much easier to say the right thing than to do the right thing. They need to be in harmony. In harmony. Teach them and model to them biblical habits of a believer. If Jesus is important to you, it should be modeled in your house. They should not just see the only time that you open up a Bible is on Sunday. They should not just see that the only time I'm giving is when it comes to special times of the year. They should not see that the only time I'm demonstrating love is to people that are part of my church. No. They should see some consistency in my life. That mommy and daddy, auntie, uncle, grandma, granddad, whoever, man, there's somebody who loves Jesus. They're not perfect, man, but they're following Christ. I got to model that. You got to demonstrate what that looks like. I've talked to plenty of parents plenty of times through the years who would say things like, you know, like, oh, my child got AAU, this, that, and the third, and you know, sometimes, so there's going to be a lot of seasons where we can't make it to church on Sunday. And I'm thinking to myself, you're headed for disaster. Now I'm going to say to him, like, oh, okay. But deep down, I'm like, this is not going to end well. Because this pattern that you're laying is showing that the Lord comes not second, not third, but bottom at the list compared to everything else. Are there Sundays that you miss? Sure. But we're talking about priorities. What you model is what gets received. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this. Much more is caught than taught when it comes to parenting. All day long. So that video that I showed y'all with Aubrey waving her little finger, I started to go in my mind like, man, did I do that? Did I say that to her? No thing. I don't know about that. But much more is caught than taught. What right now are your children seeing you do? What are the young people that are in your life? What are they seeing you to do? I want to teach and model for my boys, Josiah and Joshua, what it means to love your wife as Christ loves the church. So that way, when they get older, they will never be able to say, I never had a man in my life who never demonstrated to me what a godly man looked like, because daddy was there. And daddy demonstrated this to me. I want them to be able to say that. I don't care about them saying that daddy wasn't perfect, because God isn't looking for perfect parents. God is looking for submitted parents. People submitted to doing his will. It's not about being perfect. It's about being submitted, because a submitted person says, even when I've messed up, I'm sorry, I did it the wrong way. That's a submitted person, somebody who's submitted to the word and to the will of God. As a matter of fact, in the scripture holds this value very high for pastors especially. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says these words that I always revisit so that I can make sure that I'm honoring God. It says that the pastor, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of respect. Verse 5, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? How can you do that? So if my three rugrats busting up your windows, robbing people, getting people with Uzis, then the pastor kids. You know what? That's the time for me to step down. What I'm not saying is that I'm responsible for every act that they do. But when a child is constantly rebellious, then that shows that there's something in my household that I'm not establishing. And Paul says, for those in leadership, there's a high standard. Your kids ain't got to be perfect. My kids aren't perfect. Please do not hold them to that standard. They just as crazy as yours. Kids, kids. But what we are going to do is we're going to lay a foundation for them to grow in Christ. We are going to correct them. We are going to love them. We are going to speak into their lives. We are going to disciple them. We are going to mentor them. And for us as parents, that is what God calls us to do. I know it is complicated. I know it is difficult at times. I know you don't feel like waking up at 5 in the morning with that crying baby because you would love to get that extra hour of sleep because you got to be at work first thing in the morning. I know that you don't want to have to stay up late doing homework because you got to go to work 5 o'clock in the morning. You got to wake up. You got to do this, that, and the third. I know that you don't feel like going to take them here and take them there. I know that you don't want to spend all this extra money. You wanted to use this money to go on vacation, but now you got to buy these shoes. You got to buy these books. You got to pay for this tuition. I know that on the surface, it's like, man, this does not feel good, but I want to let you know that it is for good. Yeah. That is for good, man. Yes, it's complicated, but God has given you the grace to be able to do that. And for those of us in here who are not parents, but you have children in your life, family members or adopted kids or whatever the case may be, God has strategically placed you in their life so that you can pour into their lives, man. I would love for our church to be a church of people who love kids in our community. Matter of fact, I can't talk a whole lot about it, but one of the things that we're going to be doing towards the end of this summer is something where we're going to actually pour back into the lives of kids and families into our community. I'm really excited to share, but I can't because we don't have all the details locked up, but just know it's coming. Why are we doing this? Because we want to communicate to the community that the children aren't just the generation for tomorrow, they're the generation of today. That they're not just the future, they are the present. If you don't invest in them in the present, they don't have a future. And so we want to parent them well. We want to lay a foundation well. I want my kids to love Jesus. I want my kids to love us when they're 50 years old. When me and Ariel are up in some, I don't know, at the doctor or at home struggling to get out of bed, and they're there at the house and cooking food and washing feet. Like, I want them to do this because they saw us model this for them and in the lives of other people when they were younger. I believe you reap what you sow. So if you want those kids to do that, then it starts now. Let us parent our kids to the glory of God. What is all of this a picture of? It is a picture of the love of God the Father towards us. It's a picture of God's love. Our parenting, the love that we demonstrate to our children, Ben, you guys can come on up, is to be a reflection of the love that God demonstrates to us. Your parenting is to be a picture to this world of the eternal love of the Father that has been demonstrated to us in Christ Jesus. It's supposed to be a picture. So when people see you loving your kids, being patient with your kids, exercising long-suffering with your children, they begin to raise the question, man, how can you be so patient with them after what they did? Because God the Father was patient with me. It flows out of my love from God. And I love how God never expects us to do anything for others that he has not first done for us. Here's what Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love for us even when we did not deserve it. Why? Because he is a good, good father. That is what a good parent does. That boy, I love you even when you're going against me. I love you even when you're not listening to me. I'll sacrifice everything for you just to have you back. Because I love you. And I'm for you. And I'm with you. And I have my arms of love open so that you can come be with me. And that's the call that God has given us today. It's bigger than just parenting. God says, I want a relationship with you. I want to be your father. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. And I've already made that available for you and to you through giving you my son, Jesus. And the only thing that you got to do is receive by faith. I love God's love. Because we don't have to earn it, we don't have to work for it. Some of us grew up in households where you had to earn the love of your father and your mother. You had to work for it, and it still wasn't good enough. No matter how much you did, still didn't love you. And I want to encourage you today, man, God wants to heal those wounds. And he wants those wounds to be healed by you receiving his unconditional love. He says you don't have to work for it. All you got to do is receive it. Believe it. How do I receive the love of God? by believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He did for you on the cross and through His resurrection. That's it. That's it. It's simple. Nothing else is required. It's a matter of saying, God, I want to be a part of your family. When Jesus teaches the church to pray in Matthew 6, it says, Our Father who art in heaven, that word Father translates to Papa. What He's helping us understand is that we see God as our Papa. As a child going to sit in the lap of his father, her father. Papa, I want relationship with you. Mom, I want relationship with you. So when we look at the Father in heaven, we say, God, more than anything else, I know I need to grow as a parent, but I need to be a part of your family. Because my relationship with you, or the lack thereof, is going to impact how I parent the kids that you've entrusted to my care. So maybe for some of us today, man, we need to ask God, God, would you forgive me because I have not been the best parent? Whether my kids are younger, middle-aged, older, whatever the case may be, I have not been the best parent. Forgive me for doing so. I know I've had to pray that prayer plenty of times. God, would you give me fresh eyes, fresh vision for how you've called me to parent my children for your glory and for their good? That's what God is calling us to today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe that's your prayer. Maybe God is calling you today to a place of repentance where you say, God, forgive me for not being the best parent. Man, I've blown it. I've messed up. I wasn't there like I should have been. I wasn't affirming like I should have been. Forgive me for that. And here's the good news, man. Because you've come to him, he's extended that forgiveness to you already. He says, I know that maybe you didn't get it all right. But once again, he says, I'm not looking for a perfect parent. I'm looking for somebody who's submitted. So maybe you weren't there for that child when they were younger growing up. Maybe you were, but maybe you weren't there emotionally. Maybe you weren't there intellectually, spiritually. Maybe you didn't set the best example for them possible. But here's what God is saying today. Today I make all things new. Today is the start of a new journey for you. And I want to begin to transform the lives of those in your family. I want to transform your sons and your daughters. And I want to do that through you first. So I ask God, God, would you renew me? Forgive me. Secondly, if you're here today, most importantly, and you're saying, God, I want a parent, but I know I can't without you. I need your grace. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. I need to become a part of your family first before I can build this family the right way. And if that's you and you're saying, this is me. I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to become a part of the family of God. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. Nobody's looking, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if this is you and you're saying, today I want to give my life to Christ, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving me the love of the Father. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for God being a good Father. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, right before we go, here's what I want us to do. If you said that prayer and you just made a decision to give your life to Christ, here's what I'm going to ask us all to do. If we could, pull out that worship guide that we gave you. On the inside is what we call a connection card. And on the back of that connection card, it says, my decision today. I'm committing my life to Christ today. Check that box where it says, I'm giving my life to Christ, because we want to share with you some next steps as to how you can.